Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. And tonight we are actually reviewing the third installment of The Matrix. And with me, I have Charlie with me. And of course, I have Tamika with me from Two Blur Girls Podcast. Say hello to everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
And like I said, we're reviewing Matrix Revolutions. This is the third installment of the Matrix franchise. This is actually going to be starting back up where the second one leaves us off with. Basically, Neo and Bane are unconscious, and Neo is basically trapped in a train station through the first half of this film. But not only that, but you also have another thing that winds up happening before we actually see him in the train station. We actually have Morpheus, who's very concerned about Neo whenever he's unconscious. He thinks that he's able to still be inside the Matrix without being hooked up to anything. And of course they wind up finding out through the coding that in fact that he's not even in the Matrix or anything like that. But then after that, it cuts into Neo at this train station and he doesn't quite know where he's at. And then you have Trinity and Morpheus who wants to try and figure out a way to figure out where he's at. So the opening scene, I'm glad they actually continued it off where we left off at with Matrix Reloaded, instead of them going to something else, because that was something that I was kind of curious about. It was like, what's going to happen once Bane wakes up? And they are self-inflicted wounds, because that's what Agent Smith did. And to know that he actually hijacked this guy's body, and this is not even the Bane that everybody knows. This is a different version of Bane. Hmm. So what did you guys think about that in the open sequence?
I like the way that they picked up when this left off, because literally it left on a cliffhanger. So they're two unconscious, and then the really one guy that noticed this, like, Bane's full of shit. Sorry, but it was the white captain, the one that's all talk, but he's kind of a wuss in a sense. But he's like yeah, that guy knows some answers. I want him to wake up. And then it's interesting that, because it just shows you the power that Neo has. He's able to be jacked into the Matrix and yet not be physically there. And I think it's an interesting idea, and it's the revelation of the One. It's a shame because Neo's not in this movie very long. That's what it seemed like. He's, I think, a good 15 to 30 minutes, he's stuck in wherever this location is. And if you're wondering, hey, isn't the Oracle a different person? You're right, she is, because the original actress that played the Oracle died while filming this the third one. So the same actress, so they had to kind of rewrite the character, have a different person portray the Oracle, and yet kind of write like the story. Well, I made a deal, and this is the result of it. So I think that idea kind of worked.
They played off the narrative really good with it.
They did really well. I just don't think it was the right choice for the Oracle. This looked weird.
She looked like Danny Glover, who had just enough of this shit. She just looked like, she's like just smoking a cigarette when Agent Smith just comes over there. She's like, I know why you came. Just get it over with.
She's like a sassy grandma.
Right? She just had enough of Matrix. She's like, you know what? I know why you're here, Agent Smith. Just go on ahead. Take me.
No wonder why. I think the choice was, okay, do I fulfill the prophecy, or do I keep smoking cigarettes to look old? Okay, I'm going to do the cigarette route, because every time you see her, except for maybe the second one, she's smoking, and it's like, huh. Yeah, that you know that's going to kill you, right? You're supposed to see into the future.
Is
I don't know.
I wonder if that's the ramifications of what they're doing, though.
Isn't she a program?
I mean, she's like a certain machine in the
She can smoke all she wants to.
But don't forget, though, when you smoke, you have deterioration. You have different things that's within your body. So the machine could be deteriorating from the outside.
Yeah, but she's a super
machine. It's overuse.
The overuse of it.
She's probably tired, and so she needs a rest.
She's an old antique machine and everything. She's like an arcade machine. She just has to be put out of order for a while.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to her, too. She was put out of order time was on.
Right.
But honestly,
WD-40 can even fix that. So
rewatching this is like, it's not a, I mean, I have it. I mean, because I had to have it because there's aspects of it that are worth it. But this is not a good movie. It's really, it's boring. Not a lot happens. And like, they mean the Zion actually stops having sex with each other. And they start defending the, that scene was cool with the scene with the, this actually seen those machines and this piss, those guns look awesome on the, on that vein and how that set up. That was cool. And then but the real highlight of this movie is when they, is when Seraph, Trinity, and Morpheus have to go find Neo, and they had to go to find this program called the Train Man. That chase sequence was cool. And the show's like, okay, cool. Is that how people were able to jump over those turnstiles at the metro stop, like, or at the metro or train stops, but, you know, just doing cartwheels over it. Like, that's how you get over that now. Like, okay, that's pretty cool. Then leads to the big action sequence where they find out the Train Man works for the Merovingian. Of course, Merovingian is pissed at Neo for no reason. Like, okay, I'm gonna take your friend. So you got to do that. But that action sequence was awesome. Like when they beat up the three guards, and Seraph is just doing roundhouse kicks on the guy. Like, and then all it takes is one snap. Morpheus just snaps one guy's neck, and like, so Morpheus, he kicks some ass in this seat and this one is like, okay, he didn't get his ass kicked. He kicked the ass in this one, which is really nice to see that. And there's a one neck snap in that. And then Trinity snaps the neck and then shoots the guy. So it's just, Trinity's pissed. Mm-hmm. And that's one person you do not want to piss off. And that's Trinity. Cause you took her man from her. Mm-hmm. And that is the one person you do not want to piss off. And it showed. And then, I just love the sequence when they go down the elevator and they said, okay, there's a girl with like, if there's only one person at the coat check, we're okay to check guns. What if there's not? Then there'll be many men. And you see Seraph just pull out the gun. Everybody's just pulling out their guns. And then the girl shows up and is like, hi. I'm like, oh shit. She just goes, hi. Oh shit. It's like, it's kind of like iconic from the third, from the very first one where it was instead of the security guard saying, holy shit, it's the girl's like, oh shit, like she just backs off, and then they just start blasting, and then what do you know, the guys can walk on the ceiling. Seeing that for the like in the Matrix was for the first time, that was cool, because you see people run, like they run on walls, you don't see them walking on the ceiling. That led to a fantastic action shootout sequence, and I love that sequence.
I thought just the train sequence, like you said, was boring, but the metaphor was pretty good. You know, because Neo was in a coma, so he didn't know where he was, so he was trapped in between, like in between.
Yeah,
like, where am I? My train. The train is not coming.
Like purgatory, in a sense.
Yeah, it's like I'm not dead, but I don't. Mm. I'm not here, so I'm kind of trapped. So I thought that. Mm.
It kind of reminds me of Doom Patrol with that one episode that we reviewed. Remember that?
Yes.
That kind of reminds me of that, to be honest. Yeah. And that's the perfect way for me to describe it. Except for the one thing, you're not going through different memories or whatever, mm-hmm. but I like the, to be honest with you, I like the concept of what they did with the train station where he's just stuck there until he gets woken up or something winds up happening.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect to it. And then you find out there's these other people that wind up coming in there. And it's making me wonder, okay, are these people also unconscious too? Mm-hmm. Are they in a coma? Mm-hmm. What's the deal with them?
Yeah.
Maybe he's taking them back to being where they're actually being able to be unconscious. And he's not able to take them because at that point, here's the thing. I know that the French guy is actually the one who's in charge of who can mm-hmm. bring him back and everything and stuff like that too. But it makes you wonder when you're unconscious and you're not in that state of mind where you can wake up or anything, if like there's some kind of control where there's somebody, something in your brain where it's like, you know what? You're not ready to wake up yet. So therefore I'm not going to wake you up or something like that. It just makes you think about the unconsciousness of your own brain and everything when you're actually in a coma or something. But the psychosis of it. But I definitely like it. I definitely like that aspect.
Neo had an interesting conversation with the guy because he wanted to get his daughter into the Matrix, I think. Yeah. Bring her back. They were going to stay. And they had this interesting conversation about the concept of love. And he's like, well, you're a machine. Love is a feeling. And he's like, no, love is just a word, you know. So I thought that was interesting. Like you said, this movie isn't the greatest, but it does have these interesting philosophies, like almost like AI type, like machines can feel, well, not feel, but they know what love is. And you know, it's
the concept of love, right?
Yeah, the concept of love. So it has like this AI element into it as well.
Years ago, when I was watching the movie, that scene then like the whole interaction between Neo and that family didn't bother me. Now I was like, I don't care. I fast forward through it. Honestly, just, I don't care. Who are, like and like the dad was okay. The wife was annoying as hell. She's kind of shows you who's the man in that relationship, and it's her. She's the one like, who are you? What are you doing here? Like, he doesn't know. Play off. And then, like, Sati, she was annoying. Like, God, just shut up already. He's like, your name is Meow. Like, what? It's like, she's like, just like so annoying. I'm like, oh my God, I don't care. So I just fast forward. It's just, I did stop it when the train man shows up, and then Neo is like giving him, like, I'm getting on this train. He's like, no. Like, you're not God mode here. You don't have that sheet on. And then he just punches Neo like once. And then when Neo's trying to run after the train and he finds it back where he goes, shit. Like, it's just like, I just thought that scene. But I thought the girl was like, the little girl was annoying. What was the point of her? Then I find out, okay, there's actually a point to her. So I've read up who the casting is for the new Matrix, and I read the characters. The little girl is not a little girl anymore in this movie. Mm-hmm. She's played by the one that's married to the Jonas brother. Priyanka.
Oh, that's her.
She's playing Sati. So I was like, I just read this now. I'm like, what? Yeah. So and that's like she's an exile program created without a purpose who met Neo shortly before the end of the Machine War. I'm like, gotcha. Please don't be annoying like you were in the Matrix, the third Matrix movie. Like, I made this for Neo. Okay? His name is Neo. Neo.
Jeez, Charlie. She's like one of the exile programs they put inside kids, and kids ask annoying questions.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
I'm pretty sure she's the type of kid that would ask if Rambo is Rambo is like tires, like, Rambo, you tired? I'm pretty sure she'd be the type of like, Rambo, what's
that's why that was in there. I'm Rambo. I'm Rambo too.
I don't know why, but anyway, and then I find out that the other guy, that Jonathan Groff character, the Groff character, he plays Smith. So there's a version of Smith that's back because he's Thomas's business partner and Neo's former arch nemesis and agent of the Matrix. So I was like, because of the character, and I was like, the character was portrayed by Hugo Weaving. So Smith is alive somehow 20 years later. I'm interested how. again, this is making me more excited for this movie because it hopefully will make me forget about this downer, horrible movie of this is. I mean, I still own it because there's the, again, the action sequence was awesome.
Yeah.
There's Morpheus that, and they're just like, they're doing a lot of flips. And then Trinity's pissed. Like, and then she does the iconic move she did from the first movie, just to kick the guy through the wall. And then he fell down afterwards. So after they get past this sequence, they go into the club sequence. And what do you know?
Oh, Randy.
What do you know? More orgies.
Club Hale with one.
It's like, what's the deal? It's like, okay, let's go over this movie. Okay. What if the first one didn't have? Orgies. Okay, we need to double up on the orgies.
And BDS, and also too, what else didn't it have? Let's have BDSM outfits and leather.
Yeah, like leather. All the skin, like leather, like all plastic kind of skin tight. Let's all get in a mosh pit. Let's play like porno music or something of that nature. We gotta have a mosh pit.
We must have a mosh pit. Yeah,
and I was like, once I was watching the tray, I was like, watching the movie, I was like, oh my god, we got another orgy.
Yeah,
and it turns out the Merovingian, he's into this stuff. A lot of his horned up wife that loves it when people are fighting each other or about to kill. It's like she gets off on that kind of stuff. I don't know. I can't control that. So
let's just say, you know what? Let's say I think Trent Rensser from Nine Inch Nails would love that club, to be honest with you.
I like the way they enter, like Trinity. I forgot the guy's name.
Seraph.
Seraph is my favorite character.
And Morpheus, how they entered in like this circle, and then they came in and just had guns everywhere.
They were ready to kill everybody in that. And that was awesome.
And then everybody parted like the Red Sea.
Yeah, and then they opened up the floodgates, or they stopped the orgies just to let them through.
The orgies.
I don't think that's the way Moses intended it.
No, I don't think so either. But in this sequence, where everybody stops, so the Merovingian, then they all have guns pointed down, and Merovingian's talking out of his ass. Oh, I need the eyes of the oracle. Okay, like he's like talking like he's that. I don't know. He's talking like he knows what he's doing. I'm like, no, you don't. You really think you're gonna get the upper hand? And then this is the moment I love. Like, again, I love Trinity in this movie. Like in these movies, she's a badass. She says the line, "I don't have time for this shit," and then she starts kicking ass. Like they all do. They all start fighting, and then all of a sudden they do the quick cut to Persephone, who's getting kind of turned on by this, and it was really weird. I'm like, why? And then they're fighting, and then I think like somebody gets shot in the arm, and then the gun flies in the air, and Trinity catches it. She flat out catches it. Like compared to one of my wide receivers for the Philadelphia Eagles, hey, Jalen Reagor, that's how you catch it. That's how you catch. That's how you do it. That's how you catch. It's easy. Trinity catches it and points it right at the Merovingian. Everybody else is pointing guns at each other like it's like a John Woo movie, in which everybody's got guns pointing at each other. You don't know what angle. She's pointing at that, and then she's like full on pissed. All right, you want to make a deal? How about this? You give me Neo, or we all die right here, right now. Like she's serious. And then Persephone's like, she'll do it. She's in love. And I'm like, no one cares what you have to say. Just sit in the corner and be with the orgies. I don't care. Just get out of the area because you're no help. And then Merovingian's like, she goes, you're truly gonna die for this man. Believe it. So yeah, Trinity's actually gonna shoot him. I wanted her to. Because unfortunately, the Merovingian's back in the fourth one. I don't know how he's back, and the same guy is in it. So, but
with more orgies.
He probably wants the more orgies. Well, I think in this one, there's probably gonna be less orgies and more of the actiony kind of stuff. That's what it looks like in the trailer.
I'm hoping. But going off of what you said, though, he also said this. He goes, "Give me the guys of the Oracle, and then you can have your precious Messiah back." And then that's when Trinity winds up losing it. But I love Trinity in this movie, though. In these three movies, she's just top notch. She doesn't take no shit from anybody.
I mean, if she'd been on that ship with been on the hammer still and then go with Neo, she would have beaten Bane. She would have stopped Bane. Because that girl Maggie, the guy has a knife. Oh, I'm just gonna go up and stab him. I'm just gonna go out like this nonchalant stab him. Oh no, I got stabbed in the neck. Like, come on, you're supposed to put up more fight than that. Like the sequence when Bane is about to get injected or whatever. Bane, and then she weak stabs him. She's like, oh, like somebody dying in a horror movie. Like, what the heck? Put up more fight. Like, seriously. Like, oh, like that. But anyway, like, Trinity would have kicked Bane's ass, and she did kick Bane's ass for a while, though, but we'll get into that in a bit. But, yeah, Trinity is such a badass in these movies, and that's why this movie's a downer. It is, because they kill her off. They kill her off. I'm like, why? No! Here's the thing.
Whenever I first saw this movie, and it had that whole entire biblical aspect to it, I was thinking, this is like Revelations. This is like the last book in the Bible of Revelations. This is the sacrifice of the Messiah. Mm. So this is Neo sacrificing himself for the good of the world. And Trinity was there for him, with him, through it all. She was like one of his followers, if you think about it, aside from the fact that they're boyfriend and girlfriend. But still, that's what followers. I got out of it.
Huh? More lovers than followers, because we got to fit into the theme of orgies.
Yeah. Sorry. I was looking up Persephone.
And I have to agree with what Brandy said, too. It's so much better when a woman is as a badass. Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, looking up Persephone, because I know it's from Greek mythology. So I was curious as to why they named the character Persephone. But I know I read that she is the wife of Hades and the queen of the underworld, and then they were in Club Hell with one L. So I don't know if they kind of tied all that into Greek mythology. I'm just interested in all the themes of the Matrix. Like, where do they take the ideas from? Like, some Greek mythology, some sci-fi books, you know, spirituality.
I think it's through everything, though, if you think about it. They take a bit of everything and paste it together, because we have reincarnation, we have transsexuals, we have everything that's in different religions, different aspects into the mythology and stuff like that, all rolled into one aspect. And that's the beauty of the Matrix, though, in a sense, because of the fact it's divided into different sections within the Matrix. And it's what makes up the Matrix, by pulling in all of this information and everything, too. It's like one big, huge, super hard drive where it just pulls everything in.
Yeah, and you know, like Jada Pinkett's character and Lawrence Fishburne, they crash into Zion, right? Oh, yeah, when the gates open. I forgot that guy's name. His name isn't Mouse, because Mouse died in the first Matrix.
No, it was kid that was like that had a huge huge crush on Neo. I want to join the Nebuchadnezzar. I forgot his name.
Yeah, his name is just Kid.
Somehow managed to open the gates, and then Jada Pinkett's character and Lawrence Fishburne came in, and they did the EMP, and then the machines went down, and then you're like, yay, oh my gosh, they did it. And then they're like, no, you didn't do it. Now more machines are coming, because you left a gaping hole. And then
Captain Locke is a dick.
Oh crap! Yeah. Sorry about that. And then you forgot about Neo, because you were so caught up in this epic battle.
Yeah.
That you forgot. Oh right, Neo and Trinity are still out there. Like, I totally forgot about them until they panned over. So yeah, this scene was a little bit long. It just kind of made you forget about the main characters.
Because you're so enticed into the action. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they wanted everybody to get a shine, or just introduce all these characters and say, look, they can do it too. And I'm like, that's great, but I forgot about the main characters. I forgot what they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with this one, the pacing was really bad with this one.
Yeah,
like it's a shorter movie compared to the other two. Mm-hmm. The other two were 2 hours 18 minutes, but it moved really well. Like, once you got past the Zion sex sequence in the second one, it moved pretty quickly to the end. This one took forever just for that, because we had to have a long expose. I don't care about Link's wife. I don't know what in the script says, okay, we need Link's wife okay, she wants to join, she wants to be a volunteer, and she wants to fight. Okay? Like, there's not much on her that we need to spend 15, 25 minutes to have her, like, be with a partner, and that's not Link, or whatever, like, be with the partner, and then she dies. Like no one cares about that. We honestly, like, there could have been a lot they could have cut out of this movie. The pacing would have been so much better. There's a lot of characters I didn't really care for than Sion, because, again, you crammed all this into two movies, and then you try to finish this up, like... Uh-huh. I care about a lot of people in Zion. I just cared about them taking on the Squiddies. That's the point. Then they're supposed to defending. But there's a lot of parts in it that were not needed. Like I didn't think that was needed. They spent way too much time on the hammer, the other ship. I thought there was that. I mean, and the other worst part, you took away Neo's eyes. Mm-hmm. Literally, you took away his eyes, and he's blind the whole time. And like I said, you're so happy because when they saved Neo, okay, end movie here. It's great. Just end it. Like Neo and Trinity reunite. They stop. Like and then boom. But no, the movie had to continue. Like, can you just get them some peace? Because Neo's barely in this movie. Like Keanu's barely in this movie, and he's like one of the biggest guys in this movie, and yet he's not in it as long. You got to focus on like the side characters from Zion. No, you pay to see the Matrix movie to see the Trinity, see the triangle, the holy triangle, Neo, Morpheus, and Trinity. You didn't care to see Link's wife. You didn't care to see the other people Zion defend it. You paid to see this. To quote Van Damme from Expendables 2, I want my money's worth.
But with the whole thing where Bane blinded Neo and everything, and when I remember seeing it in the theater, because I did see this one in the theater.
How do you do
that? I did and
see yeah, so I remember seeing the part where Bane winds up blinding Neo, and I'm like, this movie's going to suck now. Not like it wasn't already sucking, but it seems like when they just go ahead and blind somebody for the sake of blinding someone,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't motivate a plot or anything, I have issues with it because it doesn't really do much for me when somebody, and that's how I viewed it that first time whenever I saw it, whenever I was like in the 12th grade. But viewing it now, it makes a little bit of sense because now we realize that, you know, it pulls a lens over Smith's eyes a little bit, saying just because you blind me, it doesn't mean that you took away my eyes because I can still see you. I can still see the real you underneath everything.
It's like a Matt Murdock type of thing. Yeah, I don't know why. They had a lot of ideas in this movie. And I don't know, because I was trying to look up, was there any Greek philosophers or Odyssey or whoever was blinded and went on this journey? Like, I was trying to see, I'm trying to get in their mindset, which I can't unless I read more about their motivation for a revelation, not revelation, revolution, whatever we're in.
Well, there is a blind.
Yeah, Greek. I was trying to.
Oh, there's a blind. There is a blind. There is someone in the Greek mythology that's blind.
Yeah, what's their name?
Benica. Oh.
Their name is what?
It's Britannica.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was trying to see was that. I don't know. I was just interested in why they would, like you said, mm-hmm. why they would take his eyes. But I guess right. you can see that some of his powers as the one is enhanced. Like, you can start to see as he sees the Matrix. Like, he can see past the physical sense, and he can really see, the mechanical sense, the coding sense, whatever. He can really see, surpass what other people can see. Oh, you put it up there. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was doing. I wasn't... like just wandering around.
No, I was just trying to help you out because I love mythology. And I'm like, she's onto something. I'm gonna get out over this too because I like Greek mythology. I'm a huge sucker for Greek.
I mean, they had Persephone in there, so that's what really, like, I was like, oh, okay, what's going on here? But yeah, that, I don't know. And then just Neo, well, with the machines coming in, I read that it showed that no matter what the humans did, the machines would surpass them. Like, they thought, okay, we got the EMP, and yay, we got these machines, but more machines are coming, and then they kind of multiply, and all hope seems lost. And like I said, I forgot about Neo. He was out there, and then I'm like, oh, right, Neo's out there. What are they doing out there again? Like, it made me totally forget what the mission was about, because I got so caught up in this whole action sequence that was going on here. But yeah, it's like Neo toward the end, he's bargaining like Dormammu, I come to make a bargain. Like, he's making a bargain with the head machine, which they have a name, but I forgot their name. Whatever the head machine is, he makes a bargain, like, I can take out Smith for you, and there could be peace between man and machine, which is a really interesting concept.
Oh, it's Deus Ex, it's an Ex Machina.
Yes.
Machina, yeah.
Yeah. So he makes a deal with whatever
the name is.
Yeah, they make a deal with him or they, to take out Smith. And then you see that epic battle. Like I said, like, all the thousands of Smiths, and then the rain sequence, and then they're fighting each other, which I thought he was going to lose. Well, I don't know why I thought all hope was lost, because it's Neo, right? The one. But then I'm like, oh, but he has the Oracle's eyes. I'm like, how can he beat him then? This is like the Oracle's Agent Smith.
Yeah.
Which is totally OP and stronger than what Neo's supposed to be.
Yeah. And he's like, I already see how this is going to end. I'm like, oh, crap. What's the point of
fighting? there's another thing I want to mention, though, too, is with the deal with the machine.
Mm-hmm.
I like that aspect of it, where he's trying to make the deal with the machine.
Yeah.
And everything. And the machine is telling him, why should we help you? You're the one who did this to us. You're the one who painted the sky black. You're the one who created us. You're the one that made us into what we are. Why should we help you? And then once Neo broke it down to him, if you don't stop him, the end of your existence is going to be gone as well. So either we make a truce, or we both cancel each other out.
Yeah, when he's like, if I lose, you get to kill me.
Right. And then also, too, another thing I liked was, you know, there was the dual machine guns, like Charlie was saying, and stuff like that. But then you mentioned the other part where basically they thought that they destroyed all the machines. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden they built up like a generator and fed off the generator's power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a little bit of a callback to the second film where, remember, where one of the older people of that
counselor,
the counselor,
or chancellor, whatever,
right? Well, was saying, he's like, I don't know how this machine works, but I know it works. It power generates our systems, and that's exactly what they did. They fed off that energy, and that caused them to be able to be stronger. So, you know, they needed to have a way up to survive as well. And so, therefore, that's what happened. And I like that scene. That scene was actually scary, though, seeing it on the big screen, though, too. But, yeah, I definitely enjoyed that aspect. I enjoyed the fight out in the rain and stuff like that. And Mr. Anderson, this is it. This is the final battle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like that. And then, of course, whenever Neo finds out that's actually the Oracle, he kind of freaks out a little bit because of the fact that he's like, okay, maybe this is a little bit above my pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm self-doubting right now because I'm having to go after someone that's above me and everything. And you see that play out where Neo's OP, but she's really OP, overpowered with that. But yeah, I definitely like the rain scene. I like the action sequences. Neo sacrificing himself was a good scene to me, because it was the end of the legacy of the trilogy at that time. But get this, Whenever I think of the name Revolutions, I'm thinking of Easter for some reason.
Yeah, I want to say
Resurrection. So now we're having Resurrection.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? But that's just me playing into the mythology of the Matrix. So I'll let you guys go on ahead and talk
about it. Yeah, so I want to go, like, the one guy I liked out of Zion was the one, like, was the one commander that was, like, that was stayed on the...
What's his name?
Let me look that up. I forgot the name. Yeah. He was, like, he got torn up. Like, I'm surprised his face almost survived, like, was still there. Like, huge, like,
deep... It's Captain Mephun.
Mephun, yeah, he was awesome. He was a badass. Like, he almost defeated that entire... he was a badass. And
yeah, he went out slinging, man.
He went out like a boss. And yeah. that was the part. Like, and then he's like, and then the kid's like, I never finished the training. The captain goes, I never did either. And that's how he dies after that. So it was like, yeah, he was a badass. Like, he was like, and then he's the guy that can give you a motivational speech. Kristen Stewart, you should have watched this instead of giving your piece of crap speech. From the Snow White and the Huntsman. God, I wanted to slit my throat after listening you say that.
Damn.
Come on. This guy literally...
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
I don't need BetterHelp.
I'm fine.
Some better scripts just to do a better performance. God damn. But no, this guy, he literally rallied the troops. And he literally got his face slashed. Like, it was, like, almost cut in half. And that was pretty graphic. Like, for an art. It's more graphic than in this one than they've done in the whole Matrix series. Like, this is a pretty graphic moment. His face got all cut up. He's all torn up. Mm-hmm. But he went out like a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but yeah, I love that sequence. But going back to that, I was like, the eyes thing? That was stupid. Like, seriously, like, that whole sequence of Bane, I just read up, there's a gaffe. When Bane kind of slits Trinity's, like, it's like her neck, nicks her neck a little bit,
mm-hmm.
a couple scenes later, Nick's gone. Like, he puts the knife on the neck, it's gone.
Whoa. Literally. I didn't notice that.
Oh.
I just saw that on IMDb, I'm like, oh my god, wow. And I said, wow, that's, talk about a major gaffe in that one.
She could be the part of the one.
I don't know.
Because he did have the one in... Never mind, I'm not going there.
Oh! He was in her. He could be part of it.
Oh, God. I mean, she did kick his ass, though, for a little bit. She should have just... Like, I was like, why didn't you shut the container door? And then I realized, oh, yeah, that's right. That's where you can control the ship. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Like... And then when you see... And then it was... And then when Neo loses his eyes, I was like, come on. What is Neo? What have you done to Neo this movie? You have him in purgatory for half the movie, mm-hmm. and then he loses his eyes. Come on, and the sad part is he didn't get to see Trinity one last time right before she died. Right mm-hmm. when she got when you think she's okay, she's like, I'm not gonna be able to make it, and he goes, Trin, what's wrong? And then you see the spikes through her.
Mm-hmm.
I almost cried because I was like, come on, you took away one of the best characters. I'm sorry, Morpheus. I don't care about you and your thing with Niobe.
Oh my gosh.
Just go. Just leave.
What about Morpheus?
Well, I mean, I Morpheus was cool, but Jesus, not as cool as it's like, he's like Morpheus is cool, but there's a tier of cool, and then there's like awesome. He's in the cool tier. Neo and Trinity are awesome because they needed more movie. They needed they gave the two best characters in the whole series less of the screen time because we need to see more Niobe. Like, okay, I got this. I'm like, sorry, Niobe, I don't care about you. Like, I don't care about Captain Niobe. I'm like, no, I want to see the Matrix. I want to see Keanu Reeves and Trinity kick ass. Okay, I didn't care to see Niobe like everybody's like saying, oh, no one can drive through that mechanical thing, and then they cut to her. No, I don't care about that. Like, no. Like, I came to see Neo and Trinity, and you kill them all.
All right, all right.
I'm not done yet. Sorry. But no, right. you killed him off. And then like on the worst way possible, like it was such a downer of an ending. And then Neo sacrifices himself. I'm like, come on. It was like I said, this movie's a downer. It is. And that's why I'm so happy the fourth movie is actually right in the wrong. I'm like, okay, Neo, Trinity, you're alive. I'm interested in how this is gonna play out because you brought the two best characters back into a war. And I'm happy on it. And I'm interested to see where we go with this, but again, the final fight seems cool, and I think there's a little Easter egg in a sense. I think one of the buildings that was formed in the Brady Dark World, well, it was the formation of the Continental from John Wick in New York, the hotel.
Really,
in a sense, it was like it was a really quick shot. I think I saw it. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. Like, there's no where it's Continental's not on it, so. They're doing a little John Wick Easter egg before John Wick even existed, because the John Wick movie says, okay, so if you're part of the Matrix, okay, I want Neo and Morpheus and okay, the Keymaker. You can, it's like they're moving on to the next level. Like, you've not been eliminated. Like, okay, you guys can move on. Trinity needs to move on too. Everybody else, sorry, you didn't get the rose. You're not moving on. So it is, they took those people and they moved them on. Okay, you're going to become assassins in John Wick series. So I thought that was kind of cool. But when the whole Mr. Anderson, welcome back. I'm like, it ends tonight. Of course it does, because I've seen it. And I think Neo knew it was the Oracle one, because you remember the Oracle telling him everything that has a beginning has an end.
Yeah.
That's how Neo knew, like, okay. And that's when Mr. Smith got kind of like Agent Smith got kind of scared a little bit and like, wait, this is not how it's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to win. This is me. Like, I'm supposed to win. And it didn't. But when they did not the Superman stuff, because that was kind of hard to watch, because it was like kind of like not shaky cam. Like, you're able to see it. But it's just, I mean, 2003.
Oversaturated with CGI or?
What?
Oversaturated with CGI a little bit?
Not really. I think it was just like, because it's like they're two super powered people. I'm like, I think they really do better when they're more grounded and they're doing the actual fight choreography. I mean, it was shot pretty, I mean, compared to most other, like when they do like superhero stuff. I mean, I thought it was a little bit better than the Man of Steel fight sequence. And then when like Superman's in the sky, like, and he's flying, like the super fast punching, like you can, it's hard to see. This one was kind of hard to see, but it was actually like, but for 2003, it was pretty cool. Now it's okay. I, to a degree, I liked Keanu being able to be Superman. When you have two Supermen fighting each other and they're both equally powered, it's just like, I liked it better when they're doing the kung fu fighting. And then when they did the sequence in the chapel area, that was awesome. And the soundtrack, there's like the score that was played in the background during the fight sequence really got you amped up for this. And that's what I liked about it. Like, and I forgot the name and I Shazammed it, I think.
But let me just go off of this real quick about the Oracle and stuff like that, because it's given me some ideas and speculations into this next one a little bit. But okay. The Matrix is of course rebooted after Neo winds up sacrificing himself, which might also explain why Morpheus might look different. I'm just thinking, because maybe it's like a soft reboot within the Matrix itself to reconstruct him. That's just me thinking. But then also too, this is something that Frenchie and I had brought up when we were doing the scene by scene of the Matrix resurrection stuff. And if you look at the opening scene of that trailer, if you look at it, it has the same identical thing of the park bench, the same kind of scenery with the park bench with the Oracle and with the girl that Charlie doesn't like, Seraph.
Sati.
Oh, never mind. Seraph. Well, anyway, Seraph looks up at the Oracle, and this is when she winds up saying this to ask the Oracle. She goes, this is what she winds up saying. Who created a beautiful sunset for Neo that she thinks we will see Neo against, if asked the Oracle? if she knew this would happen. She replies that she did not know, but she believed. But there's also this other thing where she goes, of course, you know, we wind up seeing that whole entire sunset and everything. I'm thinking that this girl is going to wind up becoming the Oracle. Yeah. I think that little girl on that bench is the Oracle.
Could
and
be.
She's the new, and that Oracle passed down her powers onto this little girl now. And now she's the Oracle. And then also, too, seeing Kano being carried over with the machines, I wouldn't... Here's the thing. Remember when they had to wake him up?
Mm-hmm.
In the first one? What if they put him back into that thing again? And now he's been resting there all that time and just charging his brain and everything. And now they have to try... And now he's just trapped in the Matrix and they're just keep giving him the pill to make him stay in the Matrix. And now somebody has to go ahead and try to save him again. Or he has to wake his own self up.
I heard that in New Rock Stars, the YouTube channel. They kind of speculated something similar. And once his hand touched Trinity's hand, it was like an awakening in a sense.
I didn't know that.
They kind of speculated. It would be interesting if that happened, but it was like an awakening in a sense. And he was like, hey, do I know you?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I don't think so. So, yeah. We're going to find out. Maybe she's more powerful in this simulation of the Matrix.
I think she is, honestly. I can see, I think she's the one, really. She's the one. Neo's got one powers. But he's not as powerful, unlike Trinity. And I think this is kind of the opposite. So, and I think, like, because again, we had the douchebag architect shit back up, and he goes, "All right, fine. Like, you got your piece, and anybody that's in the Matrix is able to wake up." So yeah. they allowed them. So, and going to that point about Thomas Anderson, they could have had him in the Matrix. And I think Trinity's name's Tiffany at first.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Good name, Roxy.
Yeah, so she like Tiffany, and then she's a motorcycle enthusiast, and I'm like, okay, yep, and like, yeah. So, this is a lot of the featurettes I watched, but the second trailer for me is what really sold me on the new movie. The second trailer is so good, and you see a lot of like that. You go back to the machine world, and then you see a lot of scenes with Neo saying, "She believed in me." Mm-hmm. Now it's time for me to believe in her.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. But it's like, I mean, there's going to be a lot of action sequences in this new one. Like, visually looks like. So we're not going to reimagining of Morpheus. I think this could be a son. Because again, this is 20 years after the events of the third movie. Niobe's still alive.
She's old. Yeah.
She's still alive.
Yeah.
You see a glimpse of her in the second trailer. She's alive. She's really old. You don't see Morpheus, though. Maybe they'll have that. I could see him being the son, to be honest. A young Morpheus.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I think a bunch of freedom fighters have been trying to look for Neo for a long time. So they've been on the hunt, in a sense. So I think they've known Neo's been alive. So, but no, it's just like the little girl, she's just really annoying. Maybe she's better as the adult, but it's like, I made it for now. like I said, this movie is a downer. It's not great. My least favorite out of the three. Because because they rushed this one.
They
filmed this one. The second one was better than
because they were filming back to back.
Yeah.
At this time.
Yeah. But still, I mean, it's the weak one. It's the shorter one, but it feels the longest because it just takes too damn long. Hence Neo saying this elevator, this elevator's gonna take too damn long or whatever, like, or some of that nature when Neo and Trinity wanted to get it on in the elevator in the second movie. This movie is just too damn long. It feels too long. Like, the action scenes, sure, some of them were cool, others were just that. I didn't need to see like very long exposés on the wife of Link. No, I mean, come on, who pays the movie to see Link's wife? Like, it's just like, just trying to save, like, no. I don't care. For a 2-hour movie, you can have that, but you need to expand the characters more. Not this. not to go to her. Oh, I don't like, she's only in it for like 5 minutes. And then now this one, she gets longer. Like, no, no, no. Like, no, come on. I want my money's worth. I don't think I got my money's worth, but still, like, I mean, there's aspects to this one is better, but it was not great. Oh, that right. score was, the song's called Navarus by Juno Reactor. And that was the score that was played during the fight sequence between the final fight between Neo and Agent Smith, and then that was played at the end of the beginning end credits. Like, this scene is like I tried to get this as my ringtone. It's so badass. It gets you amped, and then the final fight happened. Like, at the part of it started out great, and then when he sacrificed himself and he died, I'm like, oh, come on. Sorry, John. Like, it's like I was trying to finish my thought.
Sorry. No. You're good, man. You're good. Seriously. But no, I just wanted to say I found that quote. They say they agree that the peace will last as long as it can, and that all humans who desire will be offered the opportunity to leave the Matrix. And that's when she said, the Oracle tells Sadie, who created a beautiful life, sunset for Neo. And that's when America closes out. But
created for now,
right?
Like now. My name is Neo.
Oh my god,
it's Neo.
Why did you Neo. Do this, Joe? You brought up bad memories for Chocolate.
Give him PTSD. Yeah, that's what I do.
Well, so in Matrix 4, there was an interesting speculation too from new rock stars. They said, you know, they were just throughout within the movie, they were showing scenes of Matrix, all the Matrix movies, basically. And I guess it, in a sense, like Neo and Trinity and all of them became like folklore. It's like Matrix folklore within the movie. Like, you see like all these aspects of what they did and who they were. And then maybe these freedom fighters saw that and they grew up with all these folklore and these, I guess they could be documentaries of Trinity and Neo and everything they did. And they're like, oh, wow, Trinity and Neo, they're heroes. They're this, they're that. So, you know, in a sense, they could just unplug out the Matrix and get back with the freedom fighters. I don't know. I'm just speculating everything. I just thought it was interesting within the movie. They become pop culture icons or some mythical legends themselves. I just thought that was really interesting too. It's like a movie within a movie. So that's why I was seeing all these scenes that go back to like the first Matrix, like you were talking about the park bench and then the Oracle and all these other things. So
there's gonna be a lot of those scenes like scattered throughout this fourth movie. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's all about memories. It's trying to get Neo to remember, pretty much our first person view is this character named Bugs, played by Jessica Henrik, I believe. I forgot the name. Let me look it up. But she's the girl with blue hair with the white rabbit attached.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's our guy because she's the one that's been looking. She's the lead. She's like trying to find Neo, and so she finds him, and then she's got the white rabbit and like follow me, and then they're going like there are a lot of portals, so they're able to like that. So this is how technology's changed in 20 years. But yeah, so it's a lot of memories. So you're gonna see like images or photos of iconic sequences from the other movies. Like I'm pretty sure at some point, like you'll see like Groff, the Jonathan Groff character, represent like Mr. Smith and like Mr. Anderson, like there's mechanisms. So there's a lot of it's like kind of a reboot in a sense, but it's also kind of a sequel. So it's kind of like that. So just as long as you don't kill these two people off again and get our hopes up, and then Tonya Harden us, like, no, don't do Tonya that.
Harden us.
Like, don't Tonya Harden us. Seriously, let us enjoy this movie because this movie looks absolutely stunning. It got nominated for Critics' Choice Awards for visuals. The movie's not even out yet. And it got nominated, but visually, this looks stunning. Like, it comes out actually today in Toronto.
Turn it Toronto.
I know. It's get all Toronto, the good like, stuff. And it comes out next week. But still, I mean, like I said, the action sequences, and there was a really cool featurette about the action and pretty much how Lana Wachowski wants, like, once you look like badass with the weapons, and you see like young Morpheus with two guns like walking down the hallway with pistol. Again, he's gonna kick some lot of ass in this one. There's an awesome, like, there's gonna be a lot of that, and then there are the motorcycle sequence. I'm probably more hyped for it. Was a Trinity and Neo stopping the car, explosions everywhere. It's like, and it's this good to see Neo with eyes. That's the whole point. You don't want to cut his eyes out, like, get, and then you like, and you,
coming
you,
soon.
And, yeah,
Neo it's with a eyes.
New simulation. It's a new simulation of the Matrix.
Jessica Henwick. That she's the one that plays Bugs, and she was originally supposed to be. I think she was up for the role in Shang-Chi, and she took this one instead. So, so I was like, so she's pretty much the audience's eye. So she's like our version of Link, like reacting to how we react to some sequences, because I'm hyped for this movie. Like, the action sequences look absolutely stunning. The visuals look stunning. I'm excited to get back into the world of Matrix. And we needed a really good story, because if it wasn't a good story, Keanu would have said no. But if it's such a good story and everybody's like reenacting about Keanu, he's like I want to be in this movie because of Keanu, and like he's like how he helps me with the fight sequences. Mm-hmm. I still know Kung Fu. Like, there's iconic lines. Like, it looks like it's gonna be a good movie. I hope it delivers. I really do. I think it will, because everybody's got to recite. Because I mean, if this movie didn't get much hype, nobody would be like, we wouldn't be having other podcasters rewatching The Matrix and then doing shows on it for this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not getting the Spider-Man hype, and that's okay. It doesn't have to get enough hype, get people in, and I hope it over delivers, honestly. And I think it will, because anything can be better than this third one. I need some good closure and actually lead, and it potentially leads into another series, and have like Neo and Trinity like help defeat these guys, because you can't have a Matrix movie without these two. And please do not kill them off again. Please do not kill them off again. Don't get our hopes up and then this stab us, because I don't want that.
In the trailer too, Neo is taking blue pills, and they're prescribing him all these blue pills.
That's so his own therapist. I think they're trying to get him. So I think Neil Patrick Harris is listed as the analyst.
Yeah,
I think he's an agent deep down. Honestly,
yeah, totally, I do too.
Because they're all prescribing his blue pills,
suppress all those memories of the
depress. Yeah, just like to stop from the meat, and then because he's like, and then the John Fogerow, the Matrix, like he's like the way he says it. But yeah, these people are trying to like suppress his memories.
Mm-hmm. Make him forget who he was,
and then try to make him take the red pill.
And everything is coming back. Like you said, once he touched Trinity, it was like, whoa, you know. And it's like she brings him back every time.
Yeah, and it's
even
time
without her knowing who he is, it's just whatever is in her is destined to bring out greatness in him.
Yeah, and that sequence where they're jumping off the building, I believe. Yeah. I think that was what Trinity, like Carrie Ann Moss, told her husband. Yeah, I'm going to be jumping off the building. He's like, you really think you should be doing that? She's like, no, but I'm doing it anyway. Like, I think they're going to fly, honestly. I think I don't think that sequence is the end. This is a 2.5-hour movie. So it's But I think it's going to go by. You're going to be so sucked into the sequences. I think the two of them are going to like. I think it's going to be like either Trinity's the one that's flying and she picks up Neo or something, because she's the one now. She's the one that's like has got all the powers.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, John? Sorry, we don't mean to.
Sorry, John. Sorry. Yeah. It may be Trinity's movie. That's all I want to say.
No, I'm thinking also too, what if the White Rabbit is going through all of Neo's memories to help him remember? That's another theory that I had during the whole entire deal whenever we were going through scene by scene with the trailer. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, everybody's wearing blue in that trailer to symbolize the blue pill and everything. And also too, I like the White Rabbit, and I mentioned this on the trailer reaction, and also too, on the breakdown that we did. Mm-hmm. And basically what I said was this too. I said I liked the Jefferson Airplane song being played because it goes hand in hand. One pill makes you see things bigger. With the other pill, I don't know the exact quote for Jefferson Airplane, but you know what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. And I thought the placement for that song was perfectly well executed for this film, and it knows what it wants. It's the identity of the film. And I think it's to suppress, like you and Charlie were saying, to keep him within the Matrix, but also too, this white rabbit just happens to come in and just shows him the memories that he has. Mm-hmm. And to where he can get out of there without having to take the red pill anymore or anything like that. I'm thinking it's just to help him remember by making him go through different times in his life with the first two films, even the third film as well. So I'm thinking that might actually be what happens. That's just me speculating, but this movie is deep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not going to be really easy to be able to dissect when you watch a trailer, but still, I thought having the Jefferson Airplane thing was just awesome too. And I agree with Brandy as well on that. But yeah.
It could be too, like we're over medicated as a society. And we're suppressing so much opioids that we have to face. So I don't know. That's, you know, I like to go too deep apparently with the Matrix, but it unlocks all these themes and metaphors that really intrigue me.
Yeah.
Me too.
The three of us need to review the fourth one whenever
we will.
Totally. Please.
Yes. You are going to be coming back.
I better.
You are. There's no answer for bits, but I think even Charlie will even confirm that you have to come back.
I want to see it in the theater. So
I do too.
This is a movie that I need to see in theaters.
Yeah, I may bite the bullet and see it in theaters.
I mean, I'm going to
try. I'll buy you a hazmat suit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing this in the theaters. Like, I've been, like, we're getting a Matrix movie back in theaters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm in it. Like, honestly, like, I'm going to try. Like, I'm not going to be able to see it right away. Probably maybe over the Christmas weekend, I'll try to see it.
Yeah,
totally. And then I'll watch.
Probably the weekend after Christmas for me or something like that.
And then I'll watch the, like, or if you don't get to see it in theaters, you'll have it. There's the option on HBO Max.
HBO Max, too. Yeah.
But I'm going to see it in theaters. But
I do, too. I want to see it in theaters, but if I have to, I'll watch it on HBO Max, though, too. But anyways, Tamika, I do appreciate you coming on the show again, talking about The Matrix. This is actually the conclusion for our Matrix rewatch. Oh. So, but guess what, guys? I have some great news. Tamika will be back again with us talking about Matrix again with the new Matrix on Matrix 4 on December 22nd. That's when it gets released. But we're going to come up with a release date for our own selves when we do decide to go ahead and do a review for it. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I know that you have a little show called Two Blur Girls. I know you have a show coming up tomorrow night. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. We're going to do a Christmas story. 1983, right, Charlie?
Yep, that's 83. No.
yeah, it's 83. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Charlie's my research man. 1983. Yeah, a Christmas story. So, yeah, we're going to review that. And John's coming on the show. Yay, yep. John. Oh, my God.
I finally get a day off a little bit. Everybody's going to go out of town. We're not doing our Hawkeye after show. So I'm like, I can review a Christmas story. But here's the thing, though. I can review a Christmas story in my sleep. So it's actually perfect.
Okay,
so
we shall see. All right.
Okay.
I'm going to quiz you during the show.
Okay, bring it.
Come on. What's the name of the soap that was shoved in his mouth? Go.
It was just a red soap. I know liquid dial was not invented back then, Jamaica. but anyways. Yeah,
we're going to review a Christmas story tomorrow, 9:15 Eastern. What's that, like 8:15 Central?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank God. Okay.
Trust me, I got confused with time zones myself.
Yeah, we're going to be on Facebook. It's going to be live on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and I think that's all. We're going to be live, but also we're going to release the audio version later on at night too. So be sure to check us out tomorrow, 9:15 on our YouTube channel, Two Blurred Girls Podcast, and then the Facebook and the Twitter and all that.
But you also are globally though too on your podcast as well for your audio podcast.
Yeah, thanks, John.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. The camera's going to kill me.
Hey, I just, no, yeah, she's not. This is why I help you out a little bit.
We're audio podcast is on iHeartRadio, and it's on Apple, and we're on Google Podcasts. We're also on Audible. And we're also on Good Pods. Like John mentioned, Good Pods is like the social media for podcasters. Get to check out other podcasters' episodes and rate it and leave comments. You know, you're just helping each other out pretty much. A lot of good indie podcasts on there too. And I think we're number 43 out of 100. So that's good. We're climbing up the ranks. So that's everywhere podcasting is streaming, basically. Check us out, Two Blurred Girls Podcast.
All right. And guys, you can go on ahead and follow me. As a matter of fact, in just a few minutes, I'm going to be doing an indie short film that Alex and I are going to be reviewing for the Holly Schwartz Film Festival at 9:15. So guess what? You guys get a double feature, a double dose of Movie Lovers Unite, but it's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on Facebook. It's not going to be on Twitter. So if you guys want to, go on ahead. Pull up a chair. Watch us for about 10, 15 minutes talking about this short film. It's only an 8-minute long short film that we're reviewing. But still, we dive into a lot of meat, a lot of stuff to digest for the 8 minutes that we saw. So go on ahead and check us out over there in just a few minutes. Also, too, go on ahead and go over and follow me on Facebook at Movie Lovers TV Lovers Night over there, underneath the same brand name on Pinterest and on Instagram as well. Like Tamika said, you can guys go on ahead, go over to Good Pods and check us out over there as well. Rate us, do all that other stuff. Also, too, let us be able to reply to you. That's also a big thing now with Good Pods. Go on ahead, rate us even on Apple Podcasts as well. It helps people to be able to know where they can reach us at, listen to us at, and everything else, and helps us out with the rankings. Of course, you guys can go on ahead, follow me underneath Movie Lovers Unit on TikTok at Movie Lovers Unit Zero, and then TikTok, and then of course Movie Lovers Unit on Twitter. And then you guys can go on ahead, reach out to me at movieloversunite@gmail.com if you're a sponsor or would like to be on the show. But also, too, if you want to donate to the page, how do you do that? Just go over to GoFundMe.com/Movie Lovers Podcast, and that's how you can donate $5 to $10. But a simple share goes a long way over at Movie Lovers Unite. So by the time you guys see this in February, guess what? What I want you to do is hit that subscribe button on the bottom right-hand corner to allow you guys to know when we have something new on. And also, too, give us a thumbs up, smash that little bell in the bottom right-hand corner. And always until next time, guys, it's been real. It's been fun. Thank you, Tamika. Thank you, Charlie. I can't wait to do this again. Yeah. And have a good rest of your night, everyone. And bye-bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.